Please be seated and turn with me, please, to Psalm 9. Psalm 9. We'll note that David gave this to the chief musician and to the tune that's now lost of the death of the son. And it is written by David, ultimately, like all the Psalms, ultimately, like all the Scripture written by the Holy Spirit. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence, for you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne, judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. O enemy, destructions are finished forever, and you have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who trust you. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of all your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they made. In the net which they hid, their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Meditation, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. Well, I was reading a commentary on this just this morning, thinking it might be good to be ready to do the Psalm meditation, because it happened a few times that Larry's been here and suddenly decided he just was not in physical shape to do so. And here it's happened in God's providence that today he couldn't. So the commentary I was reading was pointing out that the order that the Psalms are in is not accidental. Now, they've been in this order ever since the book as a whole was part of the Hebrew Scriptures. But before that, they were individual psalms, wrote at individual times by different individuals. There are many by David. There are many by Asaph, sons by or for the sons of Korah, which was an entire core, we might say, C-O-R-P-S. Of Levites. There is even one by Moses, and a few by others. But God so moved, whoever put this together as a book, and some people think maybe it was Ezra, but that's just a guess. But the Holy Spirit moved that one, not only the writers of the Psalms individually, but that one who put this all together, to put them together, to pick the right one, and in a certain order. Now, this commentator was pointing out how it is that Psalm 7, that we looked at a few weeks ago, ended by saying, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of Jehovah Most High. Psalm 8 starts with how Psalm ended. Picks right up there. O Jehovah, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And it ends that way as well. O Jehovah, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And again, tied to that is Psalm 9. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. All tied together and all ultimately looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one through whom we know the triune God. It is he who is the Word become flesh, who has dwelt among us. It is he who reveals most perfectly the name of God, his person, his works, his greatness and glory. It is he who reveals all these things. It is he who in the Old Testament appeared to men, who was that second person of the Trinity, who is now the Word become flesh. It is he who appeared to Abraham there with the two others, and the promise was made of the coming of Isaac. It was he who appeared to Moses and spoke his name before him that we read about, and I believe it's in Exodus 34. It is he who appeared to Isaiah in the temple at Isaiah's formal calling to be a prophet that we read about in Isaiah 6. It is he who is the Word of God who shows forth the name of God. And he is shown extraordinarily in this psalm. For all of this, we can relate to, of course, and David could relate to. He is thinking back about all the deliverances which Jehovah had given to him. All the deliverances from enemies on the outside, enemies on the inside. And by that, I don't just mean ones like Absalom and Saul from within the people of God, but the enemies of the inside of his own sinful heart. God delivered him from each treacherous one. And he calls here in the first 12 verses himself to remember and others to remember and give glory to God for his goodness, his kindness, and his deliverance. He then in verse 13 on prays for more. Praise for more. That God would have mercy. That God would have deliverance. That God would give him salvation. And in these last few verses, he has utter trust that God will do so. Now, I was struck, as usually I am when going through Psalm 9, with verses 15 and 16. In fact, David was moved by the Holy Spirit to be struck himself with this, and he wants others to stop and think about this. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they made. In the net which they hid, their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Meditation, Selah. Now, I don't know about you younger kids, but those of us who are boomers and maybe a little bit younger know all about the Roadrunner. And more to the point, Wile E. Coyote. Wile E. Coyote is always coming up with these brilliant schemes on how he's going to catch, presumably, to eat the Roadrunner. And every time, I finally got bored of these cartoons, kids, because you could predict exactly what was going to happen. Every time, whatever plot he made, whatever plan he hatched, whatever mechanism he concocted with the help of the Acme Products Company, always ended up backfiring on him. Every time it happened that he was the one smashed, crashed, lashed, or whatever we could rhyme that with. It always happened to him. Every plot came down on his own head. Well, a far greater one is here than a roadrunner, and a far more evil one than Wile E. Coyote is here. But the greatest example of this in the history of the world that shall ever, well, that has ever happened and shall ever be, is the plan that Satan hatched to destroy God's anointed one. To destroy God's Christ. And he actually ended up moving things through people's hearts and his own cleverness to get Christ not only dead, but cursed. No longer God's blessing, God's curse. And that, what he thought, wonderful plan ended up as utter destruction. For with that curse came blessing for the people of God. With his death came life. And with Christ's victory at his resurrection came the utter and complete destruction of Satan by his own foolish plan. This is how it is that David could say these words: for there is no deliverance for sinners. There is no help, no hope for sinners. But we who are found in Jesus Christ are indeed in Jesus Christ, as we shall be seeing later here in a few moments when we come to the sermon. In him we have this victory. In him we have this deliverance. In him we have this triumph. That is why David could have, this is why we can have, this utter confidence in our difficult circumstances, whether they be enemies on the outside or remaining sin on the inside. Deliverance is ours, and with David we can say, I will praise you, Jehovah, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Well, let us sing that praise. I've just ended this by quoting from the first part of Psalm 9. Let's sing from the last part, Psalm 9, portion B.